Satan can't knock me down. He knows that. I've preached to mocking mobs in Calcutta, a crazy mob in Sabalam, in that city in the southern Philippine Islands, jumping off point to the South China Sea. I've faced down witch doctors in northern Luzon among the headhunters. I know how to fight Satan in the power of his might. I know how to be endued. That's why I keep this ministry on the cutting edge of faith. But if you don't, that old Chinese scholar that's been followed by every great general for years, decades, who wrote the little book on the art of war, know your enemy. I preached on this very same passage in Ephesians. God's secret of strength. Figure out who the enemy is. The enemy is no longer just. They're there. Archos, Exousias. We have engaged Cosmocrateros, world rulers of this darkness. You're no match for them. Don't have to be if you'll listen to me. God will make you more than conquerors. That's why the struggle has been. Hey, I teach freedom. I got criticized in the denomination for over-delegating when I was the superintendent or president of the denomination. But we're in a war. The oldest institution in the world. Societal institution. Organized societal institution. Is armies. What did Loyola ask of his band any different than boot camp in an army asks? What are they doing in boot camp? Teaching you to obey. You can't win a war without obedience. I could wish, dear brethren, that you who serve our Lord Jesus Christ in this society should be conspicuous indeed in true and perfect obedience and abdication of will and especially of judgment. Quit sitting in judgment. Quit evaluating. Quit sitting yourself as the independent rebel. Damn it, if that's your calling, get out on point and take on the chief of all rebels, Satan himself, and get a band behind you that will obey you as you knock the shillelaghs out of him. I would to God that the 57,000 king's houses had all become mini Pauls building 57,000 other organizations. But God didn't call you to do that. He called you to follow someone, and in this case, me, in this ministry, which has declared war and attacked and penetrated the whole domain of Satan. You don't come to the cathedral on Sunday because you're a worn-out little pimple on the face of this city that needs to come there in order to survive another week and find a church that'll take care of your kids because they're a headache to you and take care of you and your problems so you can last another day. You don't take a bunch of cripples out of a clinic to do a commando raid with. You don't go to the local shrink's patient list to get four or five that'll help you penetrate the enemy line. I'm sorry, you can't fight a war laying on a couch being sympathized with. It's an army. Even if the superior... Well, let me go on. Read it again. I could wish, dearest brethren, that you who serve our Lord Jesus Christ in this society should be conspicuous indeed in true and perfect obedience, an abdication of will and especially of judgment, and for the true and germane progeny of this same society to be distinguished, as it were, by this note, obedience, that they never look upon the person himself whom they obey, but in him look upon Christ the Lord for whose sake they obey. Even if the superior be ornamented and furnished with prudence, goodness, and whatever other gifts, he is not to be obeyed on account of these things, but solely because he is God's vice-regent, by whose authority he performs his functions, who says, "He that heareth you, heareth me." That's what Jesus said to his apostles, "He that heareth you, heareth me." As long as I proclaim his words, you're hearing him. Anyone who's proclaiming his words aright, you're hearing Christ. "He that despiseth you despiseth me." Christ's words. I came to town 18 years ago to prepare this church for this day, to return it to respect for God-ordained leadership. I'm a little weary with people coming around who've been nothing but a troublemaking, judgmental rebel all their life that follow me because they think they found somebody that's finally right. I don't have to be right all the time. I tell my people, we're going to be ahead of the rest if I'm right 7 times out of 10 in normal judgment. I expect to be right all the time as I mine the depths of God's Word. And the same Word's there for you to check. That's why so many times I say, go read any commentary you want to read. And there are plenty of you listening to me that have gone and checked me out. I don't really feel too good that people follow me because I may have some ability to inspire them. If God sent you here, you follow me because of who I represent. On the contrary, even if the superior should be somewhat deficient in counsel or prudence, ought there to be any remission of obedience on that account? I've been saying that for years. You respect the position and you separate the position from the one who occupies it, and you respect the position of the pastor if a dumbo occupies it. If he doesn't feed you very long, go somewhere else. Don't oppose that position. Don't stay in a church where you got a dumbo as a pastor that you never know where he's going, and you sure can't find any direction from Scripture that lines up with where he's going. Don't stay there because you're going to keep the ship on track even though the leader's wrong. Get out! And either build a church yourself and be the leader, or follow the man or woman that God put in charge. On the contrary, even if the superior should be somewhat deficient in counsel or prudence, ought there to be any remission of obedience on that account, so long as he is one superior, since it has reference to the person of him whose wisdom cannot be deceived, and he will supply whatever may be wanting to his minister, whether he be lacking in probity or in other ornaments, seeing that with Christ, that when Christ had said in express words, "The scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat," he straightway added, "All things, therefore, whatsoever they have said to you, observe and do, but refuse to do according to their works." Don't follow the works of the Pharisees, but listen to what they're saying. when they're communicating God's word. Now I'm saying that's all well and good. You don't have to have a pastor capable of taking on Cosmo Crotteros if he's pastoring Bishop, California. He's not going to have too tough a competition. I'm going to tell you this, as I said Sunday, when God got ready to write the first five books of the Old Testament and lay the foundation of His revelation, He trained a man in all the wisdom of Egypt. And when He got ready to build the church, He picked a scholar from the feet of Gamaliel, schooled in all the wisdom of Hebrew theology, who could, without even a batting an eye, quote from all the philosophers of the day, including rewriting in the opening chapter of Colossians a well-known song of wisdom that he saw incarnate in Christ, beginning about the 15th verse of that first chapter. When God gets ready to penetrate the world, He's going to raise up a people that have the abilities to do it right. He raised us up. The question, will we pay the price? He proceeds to show that mere outward obedience to a superior with inner disapproval of the command. Listen close. This is the basis on which the Jesuits have become the greatest religious organization in the world. He proceeds to show that mere out... Why do you think the Mormons are so powerful? They're wrong. I tell you, they're wrong. Just as Loyola was wrong in the focus of the source of God's words. But I'm telling you, the Mormons that stay in that faith learn the difference between what's faith-promoting and not faith-promoting. If you don't think Utah's a theocracy, you're crazy. They're the most powerful religious organization outside the Catholic Church in this land. Obedience. You're not going to make it. No way a bunch of rebels are going to take on an obedient band and not lose. And since we're taking on principalities and powers and Cosmo Crotteros, you better believe those generals in the illicit world of spiritual darkness get their commands carried out. You better be ready and willing to obey and follow. I repeat the book of Hebrews declaration, obey those that have rule over you, for they watch for your soul. We're talking about spiritual rule. Mere outward obedience to a superior with inner disapproval of the command is the lowest and utterly imperfect form of obedience, not worthy of the name of virtue. And he's talking of the virtue of obedience, unless it ascends to another grade, which makes one's own the will of the superior, and so agrees with it that not only the execution appears in the effect, but also the consent in the affection. And so both will the same thing and disapprove the same thing. We got a generation of people in the church, like that board member I told you about, told my dad, he was a deacon, he didn't know. Dad asked him, what were they voting on? I don't know, but I'm against it. You're conditioned to get your back up if somebody doesn't say please. Well, the way you're treated is more important than the truth of the treatment. You're not going to win with the Jesuits. Obedience is declared to be, quote, out of his tract, the sacrifice of one's own will, which is the highest part of the mind, the highest possible offering we can make to God. He warns his readers never to attempt to bend the will of a superior to their own. This would be not to conform your will to the divine, but to wish to regulate the divine will by the standard of your own. You hear anything I'm saying? I don't want you to be Jesuits. They did this to the Pope. I don't even care if you do it to me. But either build a ministry that inspires people to follow you as you follow Christ in absolute obedience to God's Word. Don't listen to anything I say. When I stop communicating the truth of God's Word to you, you'll know it. Spirit bears witness. I don't want any hands raised. How many times have you sat and had a verse taught? You may have read it 100 times, and all of a sudden, God's Spirit through me opens it up. And you see in a way that it can never be any other way now that you see it. Then if that's true, you didn't have the gift to open it up. So you better follow somebody who does. This would not be to conform your will to the divine, but to wish to regulate the divine will by the standard of your own. As a third degree of obedience which he would have his readers, those of the Jesuits, attain, he urges that they should not only will the same, but also think the same as the superior. How many times my heart has cried out to key staff people, why do I have to show you the implication of what we're dealing with? It isn't what the deed or the words are. It's the frame of reference reflected therein. Somebody makes a statement and it just exposes their carnal, judgmental, fleshly frame. And as I scan the various elements, I say, God, give me somebody that can think and see as I think and see about this. The third degree of obedience which he would have his readers attain, he urges that they should not only will the same, but also think the same as the superior. They should subject their judgment to his. The devout will is able to sway the intelligence so that whatever things the superior commands and thinks may seem to the inferior right and true. The best way to accomplish this, quote, holocaust, so essential to personal peace and tranquility, alacrity and diligence, and to the unity and efficiency of the society, he says, is not to look upon the person of the superior as a man obnoxious to errors and miseries, but as Christ himself, who in the highest wisdom, immeasurable goodness, infinite love, who can neither be deceived nor does he wish to deceive you, and since you are conscious within yourselves that by the love of God you have subjected yourselves to the yoke of obedience, that in following the will of the superior you follow more certainly the divine will, do not allow yourself to doubt that the most faithful love of the Lord will go on by his own ministry, which he has appointed over you to govern you from step to step and lead you in the right ways. Hey, I'm not reading the Bible to you. I'm just telling you how the Loyola band took the world. If I could inspire tonight one man in this world, in a refugee camp in Liberia, or behind the curtain that was never penetrated before, as we're penetrating it with shortwave in China, to give himself this utterly to God and find 6 others and then 10 others to commit themselves to follow the teachings of Paul and communicate his message to the world, I'd be the happiest man in the world. I'm 65. I got another 10, 15 years. God, how I wish I could inspire others to be leaders that will take God's word and say to others, follow me as I follow Christ, or be such a follower. Get off of the fence. Therefore, the voice of your superior and his orders receive not otherwise than as the voice of Christ. There sure have been a lot of people abuse authority. I had a PhD in philosophies of education. I so ran from leadership out of a fear of a messianic complex that I jumped on the caboose of other people's ministry till I was in my 40s. God had to break me and drive me, and I didn't want to come to Faith Center. I want to be a college professor so I could just analyze these things. I love traveling the world as a consultant, telling other people to take, once and tonight, take their leadership and go with it. Make up your mind. Quit being half and half. You don't know how to get the endowment, you've probably been disobedient. You won't follow somebody that by following them puts you in the zone of God's endowment. And if you do follow, you follow afar off and critically. Therefore, the voice of your superior and his orders receive not otherwise than the voice of Christ. I'll tell you something. Without Paul, the voice of Christ would have been lost. He opened the message to every ethnic group. And it stayed until this century, until this decade, until these past few years, when a voice honed in the message, truly free to communicate it, with a band of people whose hearts God has touched, and he put us in the position of taking on the whole world of Satan. We are going up against the Cosmocratoros, and we're going to win. I'm telling you this so you will tremble at the reality of the opposition and understand why it's been so tough for you since you attached yourself. Some of you, since we went worldwide, and some who've been with us for years, have had battles you never had. But I'm telling you another side before this half hour ends. God knows what he's doing and who he picked, and the Cosmocratoros better tremble tonight too. That's the point. Both sides of the equation. If I can communicate adequately, we can only do this. God's way includes obedience. Therefore, the voice of your superior and his orders receive not otherwise than the voice of Christ. On January 1st, 1604, Aquaviva, general of the society, prescribed the reading of this tract by every member of the society every 2 days. Some of my staff members better ask themselves when they last got a tape of the foundation teachings. Some of my staff better ask themselves, who can't listen while they're working, How many of the tapes of the current series on Zechariah they've listened to over the last 24 weeks as we've taught it? You better follow me and do what I tell you to do if you don't know how to fight Satan well enough yourself. If you learned anything, get on telephone.